Good morning. It's good to be here this morning, and I'd like to welcome all of you to our service. And I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in Ephesians: grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful day, a warm, wonderful day. And when I get up in the mornings, I wonder if it's still October or maybe September. But then when I get up and I see it's dark outside, I realize it's moving on and we're getting closer to winter. And I think this morning Art and Walter thought I had forgot to move my clock because they were very nervous as I walked in. For our text words this morning, I would like to read from one verse. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And it simply says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And this morning I'd like to speak about two words. The two words are profit withal. Profit withal. When I was here, and I don't remember when I was here last, but when I was here about 6 years ago, when I was first a pastor, I spoke about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and one portion of it which said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption, is what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 30. But I spoke about the one portion that said, don't grieve the Spirit of God. And so today I want to further that, and I don't think any of you remember. An elderly gentleman in our church, I once said, I think I repeated myself when I was here 6 weeks ago, and he said, oh, that's okay, by the time the next week comes, we've all forgotten what you said. Did that make me feel good? Yes. And so today, as we look at this verse, we want to focus on how we can profit those around us. Everything we do must be focused on helping him, him, and him. Everything I do must be focused on helping him, him, and him. When I do things that can't be focused on helping me, it has to be focused on others. As a child of Jesus Christ, this is our responsibility. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our great and gracious God, we come before you this morning. We give thanks for this day that you have given. We give thanks for being able to gather in this way with brothers and sisters. Lord, we think of you this morning and your great salvation. The salvation that you have given to each one of us who has asked for forgiveness, who has repented of sin. The responsibility that comes with that salvation of profiting others to glorify you. Lord, help us to do that. We pray for those that are unhealthy physically, those that are spiritually struggling. We pray for those that have lost loved ones in this last week and the last 2 weeks, as they struggle to come to grips with those things that have happened. Lord, give us strength as your people. Help us to serve you and glorify you as we ought to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take the red handbook and turn to page 2. Come, let us all unite to sing. Page 2.
sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way, our God, His love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to say that God is love.
Number four, there shall be showers of blessing. Number four.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant us those now are refreshing, come and thou honor thy word. Round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Round us are falling, but for the showers we
clean. And so, as I mentioned, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's a whole message by itself. Those two words, grieve not, are a whole message by itself. And we could likely have two Sunday morning services based on those two words. But how do we not grieve the Spirit of God? If we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where our text words are taken from this morning, where it speaks about how we are to do everything to profit those that are around us. And we look at what it says in the middle of this chapter and where it addresses this small phrase. It speaks about how each one has different gifts, but they're all from the same Spirit, and how those gifts are to be for each and every one. And Paul compares to the Corinthians that we are like a body. We are like a body. Each one of us is like a finger or an ear or a foot or a toe. And if we go on to verse 25 and 26 of that same chapter, we see that each member is to feel what the other one feels. There's a simple test. Sometimes we say, yeah, but, and we make excuses. And sometimes the Word of God is so clear, but we find that if we have certain situations or challenges and we interject them into the Word of God, we can change the Word of God to suit what we think. The Christian world is doing that today. Some of you may be doing that. The Bible is very clear on many things. And God leaves no room for changing His Word because of circumstance or challenge that faces us. Here it tells us that we are to treat each and every one like a body. Verse 25 and 26 says that we are to care for one another. When one suffers, the other one is supposed to suffer with that one. When one is rejoicing, the other one is supposed to rejoice with him or her. There's a simple test. When we think about the body, our body, and the body of Christ and how it's compared, there's a simple test. You can take this test if you wish. You can go outside after the service, open your car door, put your little finger in the car door, and slam the door. And your whole body will pull and fight to try to get that little finger, just the tip of that finger, out of the door. Your whole body will be in pain because of that little finger. If you don't believe me, you can try it. It happened to me, not on purpose, but by accident. Your whole body pulls because that little finger is hurting. That's how each one of you are to be with the other members of the body of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, it speaks about these spiritual gifts. And the Holy Spirit gives as He wills to each and every one. You're not the one who decides what your gift is. You may find that strange to hear that. But the Holy Spirit decides who you will be, what your gifts are, and then you decide if you will follow or not. You decide if you will use that gift. I decide if I will use the gift to profit my friends, my brothers on this side, or brothers and sisters out there. I decide. God has never yet made us do anything. He doesn't make us do things. We decide. Because we're made in the image of God with decision-making abilities. And then we reap the outcome. Today's service I had titled Crossroads. Because all of us come to a crossroads, and then we have to make these decisions. And we can make these decisions based on what we want and what we feel, or we can make these decisions based on what the Bible says. As Christians, I believe we only need to look to God's Word. God's Word has the answers for every challenge that comes our way. God's Word has the answers for every situation that comes our way. Does He address each situation like, what do I do if I have a flat on my car? No, He doesn't. But He addresses the situation if I have a flat on my car when I'm on the way to do a service in Stewartburn and I'm late. He addresses the situation as to how I am to approach that situation. And it happened to me. I was already late. And I had a flat on my vehicle. And it started raining. And for those of you who know me, know that by then everything gets tighter and tighter. But I had to say, relax. Everything will be fine. I had to decide if things were going to be good, if I was going to follow the direction in the Word of God, or if I was going to follow the fleshly direction of getting wound up and angry at my flat tire. And each one of us has those decisions to make on a daily basis. When one suffers, we need to suffer with that one. When one rejoices, we need to rejoice with that one. It's not a suggestion. It's a directive. It's something that needs to happen for us as Christians. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read further. And we read in chapter 4 where it speaks about how the gifts are given to mankind and the reasons of the gifts. And in Ephesians, we read about these reasons of the gifts. And in verse 12 and 13, it points it out very clearly. Ephesians 4, verse 12 and 13. And if we back up a little bit, it speaks about how Christ led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And then it speaks about the gifts that he gave, and then it speaks about the reason. Verse 12 speaks about three reasons why we have gifts given to us. Number one is for the perfecting of the saints. Number two is for the work of the ministry. Number three is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means the lifting up and the making better of the body of Christ. And it goes on in verse 13 and it says, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so when we look at verse 12 is a thought. Paul often does this. He jumps from one thought to another. Those of us whose minds go crazy sometimes and we think about seven things at once, we can understand exactly what Paul did. Because in verse 12, he spoke about the edifying, and then he kind of spoke about something else, although it spoke to the same subject in verse 13. And then he goes on in verse 14. And so how we would read this really is in verse 12, we speak about the perfecting of saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, and the reason why we see in verse 14. And so in verse 14, it says, the reason why these teachers are to perfect the saints, to work in the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, is that we don't get tossed back and forth as children. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. And so the reason for these gifts that we have and the reason that we need to ensure that the ones around us are looked after is so that they won't be jerked back and forth as Christians, running after everything they hear, looking at everything they see, and taking everything for truth. Today we watch so much. We listen to 50, 60 pastors at a time if we want. We read Facebook. And we make decisions based on things we know nothing about, but we say it's true. My question is always, how do you know that's true? There is a reason, or a way rather, to find out how it's true. Take the dust off your Bible and pull it out of the closet. And read the Word of God and you'll realize that most things you hear, I call it the commercialization of Jesus Christ. Because it seems every pastor I listen to on the radio, everything I read, there's always at least 3 or 4 minutes first of the books you can buy and the new book that's coming out. And when we read all these things, we get tossed to and fro, but we don't read God's Word, so we don't know what the real truth is. I can tell you what the real truth is. We find it in the Word of God. We find directives for living. We find the gifts we have. We find how we are to behave one to another. We find how we are to treat those in authority. We find how we are to ask for forgiveness when we sin. We find how we can have peace in our hearts. Everything we need to live, every thought we need to have, we can find in God's Word. Every working out of that Christian life that we are to live, we can find in God's Word if we want directions. In Ephesians, it speaks about this edifying. It speaks about these gifts. And those of us who have given certain gifts, We have to work them out so others can benefit from them. Remember our text words, profit with all. If you have a gift and you don't use it, you are shortcutting somebody else. If you are a singer but you never sing, you're keeping blessings from others. If you're not a singer and you think you can sing, you're also keeping blessings from others. If I said to these guys, you know, you guys get up here and talk, I'll lead the singing today. What a mess that would be if I was to lead your singing. It wouldn't work. Each one has a gift. Some of you elderly people may say, well, I'm past that. You are not. You are not. Don't even whisper that. You are to pray. You are to pray. Why are you to pray? So that I can get up here and speak, so these guys can get up here to sing, so that these guys can go and help those in need. Because without prayer, we don't have the strength of God that we need to truly love and help those around us. The gifts are so important. The leading of the Spirit is so important. Galatians chapter 5, we read very common verses. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And it speaks about the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit. It doesn't say, or rather the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. It just says one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then after love, it says joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all these things. And so when we think about the gifts of God and we think about the fruit of the Spirit, they go together just like this. When we're given the gifts, the gifts are to be worked out by the fruit that we show. And that fruit is love. Only one word, love. Many of us don't know what love really means. And that's why we have a difficult time in the Christian church today, because we do not want to love the other guy. You know, I pick on my ministerial brethren sometimes because they're different than me. They think different. Art thinks different than I do on some things. Walter thinks different. Peter thinks different. But they're my brothers. And so when they think different, it's okay. Because each one of us has a gift that's special. Each one of us has fruit that we can bring forth. For me, it's hard to go to a hospital to visit, but for Art, it's easy. For me, it's hard to do something else, but for Walter, it's easy. For me, it's tough to do administration. For Peter, that's easy. You see, we all have our gifts, and they get worked out through the fruit that we bear. And when we don't pay attention to the gifts, we don't see the fruit. All three of these portions of Scripture that I've looked at briefly has a very common message. That when you're a child of God, when you're a Christian, it's not about you. While you are responsible to stand before God someday, it tells us in Romans, you are responsible for the one beside you. Regardless of who they are, regardless if you don't think exactly like that person does, you are responsible for your fellow Christians. You are responsible for those that don't know God. Your responsibility ultimately is to glorify God by what you are doing. And I think we've forgotten that. And so today I ask you to think about that. To give of self. To once again give of self to help the other. To once again put self aside to serve God. To do what God says. To glorify Him before those that don't know Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it speaks about glorifying God. And it tells us exactly how to do it. And it tells us to do certain things so that we can put to silence the ignorance of foolish men by glorifying this God. My friends, that is what we are to do as Christians. Glorify God so that those that don't know Him will be silenced. And so that those that don't know Him can see us and see us as a light. So that they will look to us for guidance and look to us for direction when their peace in their life is not there. And we can tell them, I have the answer for you. I know how you can have peace. I know how you can have joy. It's this Jesus you need to follow. There are things we have responsibility for as Christians. And how we live directly affects how we can tell others about this Jesus. If we do not live by God's word, telling others about Jesus Christ is a waste of time. Our actions must precede our words. And so when we look at these three portions of scriptures, it tells us exactly that. It speaks of gifts. It speaks of fruit. And that's our responsibility. In the Old Testament, there's a number of stories about people who did this. But before we go to that, for each one that is able, could you please kneel and pray in Jesus' name? May the Lord hear our prayers. Amen.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 469, Grace Greater. That was page 469. Let's stand, please.
Yeah.
Thank you for your singing. Usually when I come to Winkler, it's like no one sings. And suddenly, today, it's this amazing singing, and I thank you. Singing is an important part of worship. And when we think of singing and praising God, all of us can do it to some extent, some better than others, but we can all praise God through our singing. In the Old Testament, we read a story of a young man in Genesis chapter 37. And while we don't want to tell the whole story this morning, I'd like to point out a few simple facts about where he came to a crossroads in his life and how it was approached. And we know that this young man, when we read in Genesis chapter 37, we know that he was a young man loved by his father. He was 17 years old. And he had been loved by his father, but he was hated by his brothers, pure hatred from his brothers. And when we look at the story, we see that the decisions that he made when he came to the crossroads in his life were positive, and how God used those decisions to benefit many others. And how when he put himself aside, he saved the lives of many. We read a little bit about him in Genesis 37 and on. And it speaks about his brothers and how they hated him and how they could not speak one peaceable word to him, it says. And finally, they caught him one day when he was away from his father. And some of his brothers said, well, let's kill him, and then finally we're rid of this dreamer, is what they said. But some other ones of the other brothers said, no, let's rather sell him. And so they did. And it tells us not very much about what Joseph thought, but it does tell us that he had anguish in his soul. And it tells us that his brothers refused to hear his words. And so the stage was set. He had anguish in his soul. His brothers refused to hear. And so he had to make a decision as he was sold to the slave traders. Was he going to become bitter because of the anguish in his soul? And some of you know what that is, anguish in your soul. And you've had to decide, would you become bitter or would you just take it in stride and keep looking to God for guidance? No sooner was he sold to these traders than he was sold again. And so two times in a short little while he had been sold just like an animal to someone. And again he had to make the decision. He was in a strange country and he certainly couldn't speak Egyptian. But that's where he found himself. And he was put in the house of Potiphar, which was an amazing place to be for a slave, is what I understand. But then temptation presented itself. And it says in verse 6 that he was a goodly man. Joseph was a goodly man. And temptation presented itself, and his master's wife wished to commit adultery with him. And verse 9 of chapter 39. And he had to make a decision. And the decision he made was to say no to sin. And these are the words that we read. How can I do this great wickedness, he said to her, and sin against God? He didn't address her at all. He said, sin against God. And so we know that when he came to the crossroads, what he was thinking about. We see he was thrown in prison. We don't know for how long. In chapter 40, we see that he interpreted dreams for a couple of guys, and he said, remember me when you get out. And they said they would, but they never did. And so Joseph was stuck in prison for 2 more years, and he was in another crossroads, and he had to decide, was he going to become bitter, or was he going to follow God? In chapter 41, verse 49, it speaks about how Joseph had moved up in the Egyptian government. And it says that he had gathered corn. He had interpreted a dream for Pharaoh, and he had gathered corn as the sand of the sea. And so when we look back on his life, we see the spots where he had a chance to become bitter. We had a chance to look at his attitude. And suddenly here he was, put in a spot by God because of the decisions he made, in a spot by God where he could help others. As a Christian, you are put in a spot by God where you can help others. Because as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is working in your life, and if the Spirit is not working in your life, you are not listening to God. If you say that there is no Spirit in your life, I'm sorry, but you are not a child of God. Romans speaks very clearly. It says, if the Spirit is not in you, you are not one of his children. We need to address that if we are not children of Jesus Christ. But here was Joseph. Everything had changed. He had changed from the spot of where he was in turmoil, where he had come to these spots where he had to make decisions. And now he was second in command in the country he was in. And he was gathering corn because the dream that God had allowed him to have had said 7 good years and then 7 bad years. We all know the story, or most of us should. And so he was preparing for the 7 bad years because he knew what God had said in his dream was true. Sometimes I have an imagination. I often wonder, what did Potiphar and his wife think when Joseph was sent to prison, and then when he suddenly was the second in command? It doesn't speak about that, but I often wonder how things like that worked itself out in the Bible. In our lives, we see how things like that happen, but in the Bible, it doesn't always give us the answers. Suddenly, there was a time when no one had food, and his brothers came to ask for food. And now Joseph was at the toughest spot he had ever been in, as each one of us, I'm sure, could understand. In fact, he was in a spot where he couldn't make a decision. We often in Sunday school hear the story, and we say, yeah, Joseph's brothers came and he gave them corn and they went home. No, that's not how it happened. Joseph's brothers came to buy corn, and Joseph didn't know what to do, and so he put them in prison for 3 days as he tried to decide what he would do. And so we too, sometimes we have difficult decisions and we can't make them right away. Often when we read stories in God's word, we think, well, these people just did this. They did not. Joseph put his brothers in prison for 3 days. And they felt guilty. And it tells us in chapter 42, verse 21, that they felt their guilt. And they said, because of what we did to our brother, they didn't know who Joseph was. They had no idea who he was. But they said, because of what we did to our brother those many years ago, we have been put in prison. They felt guilt. We too feel guilt at times. And when we feel guilt as God's children, we need to repent. It doesn't say much about them repenting of what they had done. They had just felt guilt for what they had done. They said, the reason we're here is because of what we have done in the past. But then finally, Joseph made himself known to them. And he said these amazing words in chapter 45, verse 5, as his brothers were there. And he recognized everything that God had done in his life, everything from the time that he was sold into slavery. He remembered this, and here he was. And he said, God had meant it for good. These words, God had meant it for good. And so he held no hard feelings against his brothers. There was no need. They had been forgiven. He had forgiven them. And so when he had come to the crossroads in his life, he had made the right decisions at the crossroads. God had blessed it. He had saved millions of people because he had gathered the corn, and God had been able to use him because of his attitude toward God, and his attitude had never changed toward God. Regardless of the circumstance or the situation he was in. Can we say that today? When we look in the mirror, has our attitude toward God not changed because of any difficulties or any circumstances that have been thrown our way? Have we been firm? Later on, we read about his brothers when Joseph dies, and they still were not free of their guilt. Or rather, when his father died, they were still not free of their guilt. Because they felt that Joseph had only treated them well because of their father. They didn't even recognize the forgiveness in Joseph. Because of the sin they had done and because they had no peace in their hearts, they felt guilty and afraid when their father died. Another story in the book of Esther, where we also read about someone who gave to help others. And the book of Esther is a, I read the story often and I'm always kind of confused. But when I read the story of Esther, it speaks about this young lady who was an orphan. And her people had been taken from the country she lived in. Her country had been overrun by the enemy. The temple had been destroyed. Many had been killed. Her parents had died. And here her uncle Mordecai had come and taken her in. And Esther was like his daughter. And then, to make a long story short, Esther got involved in a beauty pageant to see who would be the next queen for the king who had put his queen aside because she didn't listen to what he had said. And so she became involved in this and she became the next queen. And when we look at Esther chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, and I'd like to read the whole story, but we don't have time today. And when I think about the Esther chapter 4, verse 13, we see what Mordecai said to her. And we see why she was put in this spot. And Mordecai reminded her of the fact of why she was put in the spot she was in. And Esther almost disappeared from my Bible. But in verse 13 to 17, we read about what Mordecai says to Esther. And we can apply these very words to our own lives. And it says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther and said, think not of thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth, listen, who knoweth whether thou art come to this, to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. And so went Mordecai his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. It's a difficult thing to explain in 5 minutes. But the story of Esther is about this evil man who was going to destroy all the Jewish people. And Esther was Jewish. And here she was the queen, and her uncle said to her, Esther, don't think of yourself, but think of all those other ones. And at the time, if you went to the king without being asked to come, you could be killed for that. It's different than we do things today. Today we can throw stones at the king or the prime minister all day long. We can call him names if we want. It's okay. Everything's good. We don't die. In those days, if you did that, you would die by the next morning. And so here Esther says, there's something we need to do. And so she made a plan. Sometimes we think making plans isn't necessary. Well, it is. In the Christian life, we need to have plans. Esther made a plan. And she said, I will help. Mordecai had warned her. And Esther said, I will help. I will do this. But there's something we need to do, is what she said. You need to go and fast. No eating or drinking for 3 days, and we'll do the same. Then after those 3 days, I will go to the king, and I will see what I can do. And so she did. But she was at a crossroads where she was the queen. She remembered she had been an orphan. There must have been times when they didn't have food, and here she was the queen of this amazing country, this amazing kingdom. And she was putting everything at risk to go and speak to the king. And she was okay with that, because her decision would mean whether she would save people by the act or people would perish. And so she said, if I die, I die. But this is what we're going to do. And so she did. And we know the story of Esther, and of course, she had a plan where she went to see the king, but she wouldn't tell him what she wanted. And though the king sent her back, and then the next day she said, "Well, O great king, could I come and see you again tomorrow and make a feast?" And he said, "Sure." And so she pointed out the difficulty that she was having and why her people were going to be killed by this evil man. And the king said, "It's not going to happen." And it's interesting how God and people work together. Because when Esther said she wouldn't come back, or when Esther said she was coming back to see the king the next morning to make a feast, God was working in the king, even though he was not a child of God. Because it tells us that the king couldn't sleep, and so he had to go and dig into some books. All of us do that when we can't sleep at times. And the king had to go and dig into some books to see what was going on, and the king realized that this Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, had been the man who saved his life. And when I read that story, I think this was strictly the hand of God. But Esther had to do her part, and then God did his part. Too many times we say, "We'll just pray." Too many times we say, "We'll just pray." And prayer is everything. When we summon God and ask him to help us with things. But we are responsible to do something as well. Each one of us is responsible to do something as well. And we see that Esther, of course, we say Esther saved the children of Israel, the Jews. But it really was God. When we think about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And it speaks about us as Christians. Gives us direction. Do we do everything to profit the other? Do we do everything to profit the other? Do we do everything to glorify God? That's why we're here. That's why each one of you is here, and that's why I am here. To glorify God through what we do. We are to ask God for direction. We are to act upon the direction we're given. And we are to make sure the direction we have is right by looking in the book. By looking in the book. That's how we prove if the action we are taking is right. Too many of us aren't looking in the book. We're listening to everything else. When we take action, it has to be with the mindset that we are helping others. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says that if we know where to do good and we don't do it, it is sin for us. If we know where we can do good and we don't do it, it is sin for us. It is a sobering thought to me. When I think about how many times I should have done something and I didn't. And so that's sin. But we, of course, are under grace. And we thank God continually for that grace. But we have to understand we have responsibilities. And we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart if we are to do the right thing. A couple of verses from Proverbs. This last week, I had the opportunity to speak at a friend's funeral. And when I asked what they wanted me to talk about, I always ask when there's a funeral if there are some special verses. And they said, speak about Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And I thought, usually at a wedding we talk about Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. But they wanted that spoken about. And he was a good friend of mine, so I said, sure. And so our service was about Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. But this morning I'd like to back up to verse 1. And I'd like us to understand that there's only one way that we can use the gifts of God through the fruit of the Spirit. And that is if we totally trust in God and work by the Spirit that He gives us. And I'm going to back up to verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee." Often I hear people say, well, it's his day to die. He just died. Much is spoken in God's word, my friends, about how our days are lengthened because of certain things we do. How our days are shortened if we live evil lives. I have a whole page of scripture that speaks to that. It says here, if we will keep God's commandments, He will lengthen our days, give us long life, but most of all, He will give us peace. Give us peace. He will add to us. It says in verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of your heart, of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God." And that's the end of the verse, right? It's not. "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. My friends, when we look at the stories of Joseph and Esther, and to truly get the whole story, you need to read the whole portions of Scripture. But this morning, we don't have time for that. But what it simply says is that these two people, Joseph and Esther, gave up themselves to help others. When they came to a crossroads in life, they made the right decision and God blessed them for it. We read about how God blesses us for certain things. Matthew 5, if you have some homework you would like to do this week, read Matthew 5. It speaks about how blessed are they. And then it goes on to mention all the different things. God's word, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is for us to learn from. It's for us to live by. It's so that we can understand what we are to do as Christians in this world, in this wicked world that we live in. And I think we all have to agree, this world is not great. But whatever happens in the world should have no bearing on us at all. Though Joseph's brothers hated him, though he was sold twice in a short time, though he was falsely accused of molesting Potiphar's wife, though he sat in prison, though the people that were going to get him out of prison refused to mention who he was, he trusted in the Lord with all his heart, and he didn't lean on his own understanding. He continued to look to God for guidance. And because of that, God used him to save millions of people when for 7 years there was no crops in Egypt. When people came from as far away as where his brothers lived to come and get food. It was because he had the right attitude before God. Nothing much has changed for us today. While we live under grace, while we are blessed because we live under grace. Often I read Romans and it speaks about how God blinded the eyes of the Israelites just so that we, the Gentile people, could become his people. And the reason he blinded their eyes is because their hearts were hardened. They refused to see what God was telling them. They refused to accept it. They always had excuses. They knew what to do, but they had excuses. And so when I read that, I realize the great mercy and grace of God. But I also realize my responsibility to God, my responsibility to others. And my prayer today is that each and every one of us would understand that. That each and every one of us would search our scriptures so that we would understand exactly what we need to do in a circumstance and a situation. Sometimes people tell me, well, we just disagree on that portion of scripture. We all have our own ideas. Wrong. Scripture is given to us for direct guidance. Scripture is right 100% of the time. Sometimes we misunderstand, but Scripture is very direct. And if we will search the Scriptures with an open heart and put our opinions aside, God will be pleased and we will serve Him. Let us pray. Our great and gracious God, again at the close of our service, we come before You. Lord, today I ask for strength, for courage, for guidance, for Christians as a whole, for Your great church, so that we can remember that we are the only light that the world sees. We live in a place of darkness, but You alone can help us to show that light. Lord, help us to have the strength to do that at all times. Help us never to falter. Help us not to disgrace the word of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Help us to be firm in our faith and not stagger. Help us, Lord, to do that for which You have called each one of us to do, with separate gifts, with separate fruit that we are to bear. Help us also when we come to a crossroads that You would guide us. And as I often say, I've made the right decisions by mistake sometimes. It is not by mistake. It is by the Spirit of God. Help us to understand that and help us to ask that Spirit to guide us in every situation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I have one prayer request before we kneel. It says, please pray for Tina Clausen. Her husband Abe has passed away. They live in Alberta and she is a sister to Corny Peters. Please pray for peace, comfort, and understanding at this time. So as we kneel, could you please remember that family in your prayers, but also many other things. Pray for strength for yourselves. Pray for strength for us as pastors to ensure that we teach the true word of God. And so with each one that is able, could you please kneel and pray in Jesus' name. May the Lord hear our prayers. Amen.
Take the blue book and turn to page 401, where He leads.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless as He. He, the great example, is a pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow. Come unto me, weary, heavy laden, rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he needs a follow, follow all the way. Where he needs a follow, follow Jesus every day.
Good morning. Thank Brother Martin for using the gift that God has given him to use the part of his body in the body of Christ, which is the mouth today. Thank you, Martin. I have an announcement here from the Sunday school. If your children are sick or feeling ill, they would appreciate that if you would keep them home. Thank you. Also, I got a thank you card here. I'll read it as it's stated here. Thank you for praying for our brother Heinz Lohen when he was ill. He passed away very peacefully on Monday, November 1st. Thanks again, and God bless you. That's from Edward and Elma Klippenstein. Heinz was Elma's brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. So I have nothing else to bring to you this morning, other than to thank you for coming and to encourage you. Keep praying for each other. Regardless of who you are, the youngest ones here today, pray for the elder. And the oldest ones here today, don't forget to pray for us younger people and also children and grandchildren. Don't forget to pray for parents who are raising children today. It is a difficult, difficult job to raise a child. And let's pray for them, that God will be with them. Often when I was raising children, sometimes people will say to me, well, Martin, that you did that and you did that. You know something? I did it by mistake, I say, because I didn't even realize at times. When we're raising children, we're still learning ourselves. We're learning so much. And so sometimes we don't have the confidence. So pray for those who are raising children, that they will especially impress upon them how great God is. So pray for each other, and don't forget. And so I'd like to bless you with the words that we find in Numbers 6, the greatest blessing in the Bible. And it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and the Lord give thee peace. And you may go in the name of the Lord. Amen. Have a great week.